So, again, with the other sessions, Psalm 27, verses 12 and 13, and John 3:12, and really get that mindset that Jesus talked to the guys, and the Father speaking to us now, that if I had told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And so we're going to be talking about heavenly things. So right now you need to shift gears from a natural mindset, natural ears, natural, to be the supernatural being that you actually are. Okay. And you have the ability and the capacity to receive spiritual things, because every believer that's listening, every believer that's here, is one with the Spirit of God, right? So you're not limited by your understanding or your experience or your where you've gone to. You're not limited by your earthly time. You now have access to eternal experiences. The Spirit of God in you knows everything. Okay. And your spirit speaks to that spirit, okay? And you're one. So you have access to the mind of Christ. You have access to the mind of God. You have access. Now, just like we have, if everyone has a debit card, and that debit card from a bank says you have access to your account, if you never take that debit card and go to the ATM machine and put the little four code numbers, then you've never tapped into your resources. So there's people in this room, the people that sound the voice, who have access to the mind of Christ, but have never gone to the Lord and withdrawn anything. They've just talked about, I've got a great bank. Right? I'm a member of the bank, you know. I mean, the Lord Federal Reserve, whatever, you know. And we have our cards, you know, our membership and our identity. But we've never made a withdrawal. We've never even asked for the balance. Because we're afraid. I'm not sure this card works. What if I put it in and the machine keeps it? So I don't want to risk anything. I'm just going to hold it and tell people, I'm part of the team. See my card? 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 I'm going to go to heaven. See my card? See my card? And I'm going to go like, nice card. Have you ever used it? Oh, it's too holy to be used. And I'm telling you, the life that he lived and died for, you need to use that life. It's not to be looked at. We're called to participate. So the first time you take your ATM in the natural, and you go to those machines, some of them say, what language do you want to speak? Right? And the first time it's going to be like, what? Why are you asking me that? I just want money. But there's a process. It's the first time you ask the Father for something you don't know about. When was the last time you asked the Father about something you don't know about? When was the last time you formed a question that didn't come out of your head, but came out of your spirit? When have you been practicing engaging with Him? Well, you know, I'm going to wait till an emergency. Okay, the emergency is right now. You need to know, if His mercy is to do every morning, then every morning you need something from Him.
Yes. Yeah.
You need to go to your ATM called the Mind of Christ and say, hey, I have a question about my husband, my friend, my city, my state, my river, my. What is my territory? What is my mountain? My. I heard someone say this is it. What do you think about that? When are you engaging? When are you making use of your gifts? When are you tapping into the love of God? When was the last time you withdrew the love of God? When was the last time you looked at someone and you said, I hate that person, and you went to the love of God and said, oh, I need a lot, because I need to minister to that person? When was the last time you did that? I'm looking for a show of hands, and there's no hands. But just ponder that. Okay, there are people, groups, places, you can go political, those Democrats, those Republicans, those independents, whatever that group is, you cannot intercede, stand in the gap for them without the love of God. When was the last time you went and said, you know, Father, I know you love them. I'm going to walk in your love. You have to receive His love. Now, some of you are going like, I can't do that because my heart won't be able to hold it. Well, take back a step. Father, help me expand my being so that I can hold your love. Well, I don't want to do that because then I have no excuse. Right now, many of us have the excuse of, well, I can't hold that. Again, until you start engaging with these issues, you don't know what your issues are. It's called ignorance. And actually, you're using your ignorance to disguise your unbelief, disguise your doubt, disguise your fear, and you're just not engaging, and you keep your little card. I've got a card. I went to the Name of Guy conference. Thank you. So, why do we do that? You can start believing, start engaging, start being active. Stop spectating and participate. Get off the bench, get on the field. Okay? Get your rainbow socks and play. So, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Wow. So, everyone on the planet knows that scripture. You know? You can go anywhere on the planet. New Ager, Buddhist, whatever, they can all agree with that. Okay. And I was pondering this, and I was going, in the beginning, God. And, you know, for most of my life, and I'm 53, most of my life, I thought this was like a great intro. Until maybe 4 years ago, I heard a guy speak on this. And he said he spent 7 years on the first 7 verses of the Bible. I'm like, you're a slow learner. I mean, 7 years on 7 words? And this guy went Hebrew, right? The guy told me that in the Hebraic culture, Eastern culture, that people spend lifetime on those first 7 words. And the first 7 words supposedly contain the full measure of the whole Bible. And I'm like, what? I look at my Bible. I don't see it, you know. Now, of course, I had not made a withdrawal either. I had not asked the Father, reveal this to me, right? Yeah. You've heard of, what's the guy? I almost said his name, said it wrong. Here in a minute. So, someone yell out the name. Who is the scientist who did all these miraculous things with the peanut? Carver. Thank you. Thank you. You get another free question. You get a half a question. So George Washington Carver. Now, this is a guy who was not bound by religion. His family was slaves, right? Yeah. But this dude rocked it, right? So he would walk in the forest or garden in the nature. And according to his biography, he would have these conversations with, he called him the Creator, right? That was his affectionate term for God. And of course, God's a title, it's only a name. But anyway, so he called him the Creator. And he said, Creator, show me the secrets of the universe. And the Creator said, that's a bit too much. So they kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he said, well, how about, and the Lord goes, how about I show you about a peanut? Now, I would have been like, come on, let's talk about a forest. You know, I'm a little peanut. I would have said, I'm done. My walk's over. See you tomorrow, right? But he had a real relationship, and he said yes. And George Washington Carver, I think, like 257 different inventions and applications off of the peanut. So the Father Creator revealed, opened up the peanut. So the Father can show 200 different, I mean, dude rocked the world, you know, helped America win World War whatever because of peanut butter and all these different things and grease and oil and stuff. And it is like, and he was like, you know, he was this black guy, slave deal, and all this, the top scientists in America wanted him and stuff. And they asked him, sir, what was your secret? The Creator told me. The Creator told you what? Tell me about that. In front of Congress. They went like, oh, okay. The Creator told you. And he was cool about it, right? You know, he knew who he was, and it was cool. Had a little flower in his pocket all the time because he wanted to be close to nature. I'm thinking, dude, he was a mystic. Way before mystic was cool, okay? You know, way before mystic was cool, right? No, they don't. And so, anyway, this is back to in the beginning. So, as I was chewing on, you know, Genesis 1:1 preparation coming out here, the Lord says, in the beginning? Yes, in the beginning. So I wanted to skip. He goes, no, in the beginning. I go, yes, let's go on, in the beginning. He goes, come back here. Okay, is there something here? He goes, in the beginning, beginning's a place. No, no, no. Yeah. Beginning is not a place. Beginning is like how we start stories. And we're having an argument, right? I'm trying to tell God what's correct, you know? And I wasn't doing my George Washington Carver and saying yes. I was doing the, let me show you. Let's get to the good stuff. Yeah, I wanted to go right to where created. He's bringing me back to in the beginning. And he says, beginning's a place. I go, what? No, beginning's a time. He goes, beginning's a place. And it was like, he's hit for me to break it down. He goes, read like this. In Walmart, God created. Well, Walmart's a place. I can visualize Walmart. I walk in there and I could do my deal. I said, well, God, it's, you know, I can't tell people that in Walmart, God created and said, let there be light. Or, but it was in the kitchen, God created. I can see a kitchen and, you know, it's not going, so beginning's on a time, beginning's a place. I was like, you're redoing my paradigm. So I go, okay, if I look at this as beginnings, not time, or maybe I can go with time, space, place. Okay, well, okay. All right, so what? You know? And he was like this. If you can believe the beginning's a place, and I'd learned a couple of years ago that rest is a place too. Mm-hmm. So if you read in Hebrews 4 and 6, you know, they did not enter the promise because they would not enter the rest, right? Mm-hmm. And there's still a rest for those, okay? Mm-hmm. The Lord goes, rest is a place. So I'm going, okay. So this week I learned the beginning was a place, and years ago I learned the rest is a place. And this week the Lord goes, beginning is a place of rest. And I was like, wait, are you telling me it's the same place? Yeah. And it's time to go back to the future, back to that place of rest, back to the beginning. Because everything that we need to do in creating, whether it be babies for you or nations or the royalty that you need to walk into, comes back from place of rest, which is in the beginning. In the beginning and rest are in Him. Okay, Jesus did everything from a place of rest. Jesus walked from the beginning. Beginning is not time. Beginning is a place. And that place is in the Father. It's the place where you're supposed to abide and live because He's with you and we need to live there. Okay? Like a Monopoly. Monopoly, you don't get $200 until you pass go. Now, if we play Monopoly like we should live our Christian life, you cannot progress in your maturity until you pass go, which is a place called rest. Everything comes from a new place of origin. Your point of origin is not your mother's womb. Your point of origin is the Father's womb. You're born in Him. Not from mom and dad. Da, da, da. Go back to the beginning. Okay? That's your point of origin. Think of that perspective. It's not about, I'm 53 years old. How old are you really? Right? So if I'm ageless, then my 18-year-old daughter isn't 18, and your 10-year-old daughter isn't 10, and your 7-year-old child isn't 7, but why do I treat them like 10-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 8? How old is their spirit? Right? I just read an article on the, where is the article at? Article someplace that doctors now say that, you know, your natural body isn't your natural age. I'm like, what? Because your cells regenerate and stuff. So pretty much a 50-year-old is actually 17 years old body-wise. Sure. And the hands go up and they trade into that and all the way. And there's a, oh! And the man was stampeded to death. Okay, so so if we believe in the beginning is a place, where is this place? You know, it's in the Father. How do we get there, right? How do we get to the beginning? How do we? Is it a mental thing? Is it a belief thing? Is it a mystical thing? Is it a spiritual thing? Well, the just live by faith. It is a faith thing, period, right? But we need to corporately to get to where when we say the words live by faith, it doesn't mean live by imagination, live by pretending. Because we go like, I want to do the real thing. Forget that faith thing. I want a real thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I see on the inside. You know, but we've got to start realizing that faith and real is the same thing. Okay, and not something that we do on Sunday or Wednesday or at conferences and nod our head. You know, if you don't know what it means, don't agree with something you don't know what it means. Let me say it again. If someone says, sister, live by faith, and you go, hallelujah, well, you need to know what that means. What is faith for you? What is faith for you? What is faith for me? Well, faith for me right now in delivering this message is, okay, I'm going to say what I believe I heard 2 weeks ago or last night at the train or whatever. That's faith, right? I'm going to take one step, right? For a person who's believing for healing, faith for them is, okay, I believe I'm not supposed to do this insulin. Did someone say that? No. But faith right now for me is that deal. Or is it, okay, I'm doing these five medicines, but not the sixth one, right? Then I'm not doing the sixth one or the fifth one. I'm going to do only the first three. Faith journey is different for everybody. And so we do a disservice when we go like, how's your faith walk? Oh, hallelujah, great. And not when, what are you doing? What are you really doing? How can I help you walk? What's your deal? Because we're all in different deals. You know, someone here is about to go to California. Well, that's a whole different journey, right? I shouldn't talk about going to the moon or going to a planet or going across the veil. If I love that guy, I should tell him how to be successful in his, on his next step, right? I shouldn't skip steps and go, well, forget that. Let me tell you about my encounter with a star. Well, that's about me, not about his walk, right? So that's not love. That's self-promotion, right? That's not helping him walk by faith. So if we love one another, we'll find out, where are you walking? You know, what are you doing? How can I look into your life? You know, I jokingly said, you have one question. She goes, I don't have a question. So then I looked into her life, started talking about her mom, her mom's mom, and things, and saw stuff, right? That's love, right? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Very well. And so, but I could have gone like, I can't believe she's on a question. I'm the man of God. I know she's got a question.
And
she's like, I don't have a question, you know? And I thought, I'm looking at her going like, you have a question. You have a question. I'm not going, I thought, okay, wait a minute. Wally, if you love, go beyond her lack and go in. You know? So I started looking and looking and looking. I kept looking and looking. Then I saw something. I thought, okay. Now my by faith is, how's you and your mom? Yeah. Was that not to say
that?
Right. And I was like going, Sue, you guys talk? Well, you know. And so I'm like, I'm seeing something, I ask something, all right? I see something, ask something. Now, if I don't love, I'm like, you don't have a question? Next. Right? That's not love, right? And so we need to love one another. Love is real, right? It's not, oh, bless you, and shaky hand. Bless you, shaky hand, right? That's not love, right? But we acknowledge it. We think this is okay. It's not okay. We got to stop playing the game and go back to the beginning. The beginning's in him and say, Father, here I am. What? How do I help South Carolina? How do I help North Augusta? Why go to Augusta? What is Augusta? Should I look on the map? Should I go in the spirit? Why am I here? Right? Or, well, good opportunity to get my books out there. They haven't seen the books yet. They'll buy them all. Go on. Go beyond that, right? So what is faith for me? What is faith for you? What's your calling? How do you plug in? How do you do? Because we need each other. But if I love you, I'll give out of myself to you. But I can't give out of myself if I don't go into him to get what I need to give to you, right? I can shortcut it. I can give what I have, and you'll be like starving, you know? But I can go into him and get an abundance, right? And then give to you, and we're all satisfied.
Oh, it's okay.
Well, so
leave it down.
So verse 3, Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And when I wrote that down, I said, why did Abba, the Creator God, release light when he could have released anything? Ever thought about that? That's what we're going to talk about. I'm thinking, like, when I go into my house, I don't say, let there be light. I had a switch, you know. When I go to pay a bill, I don't say light. But his situation, when there was chaos on the planet, and he answered the question with light. And I was pondering, out of all the things that are in him, why did he pull out light, right? And it wasn't thing he went, light. He pulled, everything comes out of him, right? And we need to learn to function the same way. We need to pull things out of us, not out of our head, not out of our experience, not out of what someone else does, but out of our innermost being. That's how this whole thing began. The Father pulled light out of himself and said, there's an answer here. It's called light. Now I was wondering, why light? Why not life? Or why not something else? Out of the one gazillion things, trillion things that he could have done, why was it light? And that's what we're going to talk about. Because, you know, on this night, October 31st, 2015, mostly there are a lot of people that like darkness, right? And we're here on purpose releasing light. We are a city on a hill, a light that's not hidden, da da da, light. And I tell you, there's a wonderful, easy study to go through the New Testament and just do your concordance on all the words light, you know, whatever translation you have, but just light, it's an amazing little deal. I didn't hit every word, but I hit a lot. And I was like, wow, God is into light. I mean, you know, I mean, there's a whole festival, Hanukkah, festival of light. I mean, there's a whole light thing going on, right?
Yeah.
And then I, in my little study, in the way that I teach or share, he kind of throws something out there, and I kind of build a message around it, right? So I was flipping through the Bible, and Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus is called the light being. And I'm like, what? It sounded so new agey to me. I thought, Jesus, the light, L-I-G-H-T dash B-E-I-N-G. And I'm like, oh, I'd never heard that. It's in my Bible. it's in your Amplified Bible. And I was like, wow. And the Lord goes, that's what you're going to talk about when you go down there. Just the one verse? He said, we're going to support it. Okay, so here we go. So hopefully you've been pondering on the Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Why do you do it? I don't know. Here's a answer, Ephesians 5:13-14. But Ephesians 5:13-14, when anything is exposed and reproved by light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make the day dawn upon you and give you light. I thought, this is interesting. I'm going to read that again, the first part. But when anything is exposed by the light, it's made visible and clear. So the situation, earth's in chaos, you know, the Holy Spirit is brooding over the waters. And this verse says, well, if you expose light to it, things get clear. I went, thank God he's so smart. He knew exactly what to do, right? I would have known. I would have gone like, chaos be gone. I'd have wiped it off, or, you know, I don't know what I'd done. But he goes, light. Because he knows the power of light. And the light spectrum is what we can visibly see, and there's whole microwaves on one end, there's x-rays on this end, and there's colors and stuff. You know, we got a nice example there. Thank you very much. The rainbow, the spectrum of colors. But Yeah, so you know, supposedly the spectrum of light goes from here to some planet of the different actually colors. There's the visible colors and the invisible colors, right? The extreme range, right? And that's just, you do a YouTube on, you put in light there. There's some amazing teachings on light. And so when God said light, you know, day one in Christianity, light in my mind, you think of a light bulb turning on or something, you know, and now we've learned about creative light and all this kind of stuff. But when he said light, it was the fullness of the whole spectrum of light. It was like all these frequencies went, not just bing, you know. So the answer to every issue, every question, all chaos is light. The answer for every problem is light. And I'm like, what? That can't be. There are medical things being resolved right now by light frequency.
Yes, yes.
And that's only been going on this last couple of days. For babies with jaundice, you put them under a certain kind of light, right? Mm-hmm. And there's certain kind of lights that we find out that are more healthy than other kind of lights, right? And so there's this whole light thingy coming on. There's a whole realm of study that's about to break up called light technology. And there, it's because every, my word, segment in the light spectrum, there's a benefit and value to it. Okay. So on the floor here, there's wood panels, you know, and so from the wall to that wall there, there's, I don't know, 40 or 50, right? But if you imagine thousands of different types of light, and there's a value in each one of them, when God saw there was a problem, he released all 10,000 to solve problems. And we've only tapped into 7, right? The ones we can see, right? Now we've tapped into microwaves. Microwave is a light, right? It's a frequency that we now use the value of that. Someone created x-rays, and that created found x-rays. We've typed in that. What else out there is beneficial, right? Well, gamma rays do some stuff, right? So it's like, wait a minute, how can something that's invisible be beneficial? Microwaves are invisible. They benefit mankind. It's a little bit, you know. And there's the bad hot dogs that get cooked, and it's not a really benefit, but... You know, but what if, when will we, not what, when will we tap into the other frequencies, other light frequencies we can't see, and tap into those benefits? Okay. When is that person going to say, hey, Father, I heard about the Washington Carver guy and the peanut. Can I know what frequency number 7 does? Who's going to do that? Who's going to believe to tap into light, right? And release that benefit to mankind. So that's for somebody out there. Ephesians 5, 8 through 9. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. What? Wait. We were in darkness. You're not in light. You're in light in the Lord. Okay? You are light. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of light... There's fruit to light. Wait a minute. There's a benefit of light. There's a product from light. I thought light was just so I can see. What other fruit is there to light? This is for you and the Father. I don't know the answer. But if Jesus was a light being, we know the fruit of his life was salvation, right? We know that he brought us back to the Father. What else? Resurrection is not possible because if he is light. Now you're called light too. What is the fruit and the products of your life, right? And it's time for us to find out, right? It's not a secret. The secret holder wants to reveal to you the purpose of your life. If natural light that we see right now and light that we can't see has thousands of purposes, okay, what is its value? We know the value of microwaves at least heats up food, heats up coffee, heats up water. Run satellites, you know, we can transfer information with light, right? Your light, what's the benefit of your life? We can measure things with light, little laser pointers, right? There's all kind of benefits. When are we going to tap into the rest of them? Okay. Soon. For the fruit of the light consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart and trueness of life. Wait a minute, there's fruit to life? I thought that the spirit, the fruit of the spirit was, there's fruit to life. Who's going to tap in and teach on the fruit of light? The benefits of light. I mean, you're all welcome to raise your hand and be the one that's going to teach them that, right? I mean, are you going to teach it by word? You can teach it by book? You can teach it by song? You can teach it by your lifestyle?
Yeah.
You know? When the Bible says, arise, shine, like their light has come.
Oh.
Who's going to shine?
Oh, that's good.
Who are the radiant ones? Who are going to let their light shine so that others can benefit from it? When the Lord let His light shine, a whole planet was changed, right? 1 John 1:5. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, God is light. Well, that's why He pulled it out, because God is, right? He gave Himself to a planet in the form of light and also in the form of Jesus. Who's the light of the world? Well, Jesus is, and so are we. There's some benefits of light that we've got to tap into. More, He's the Father of lights, right? Father of lights, Father of lights, the Father of lights. Father of who? Lights. Look around the lights in the room. That's who you are. And there's no shadow in us, right? Okay. Good. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Okay, right? Now listen to this verse here. It was of His own will that He gave us birth. Wait a minute. The Father of life gave birth to lights? Is that us? This is one of those question marks, right? Do we believe? Do we say something? What is true? Well, if it's true, we now learn there's lots of benefits to light, which means at minimum there's a benefit for your purpose on this planet. Mm-hmm. Every one of us, just like we put light through a prism, it's multifaceted, it does all these different, you know. And like I heard it said one time, and I really liked it, that we're all a different facet of the Father. You know, if you put light through it and it breaks out, we're all a different facet or reflection of the Father. Okay? Because God is many faceted, you know? God's and all of us together, all of us together, all the ones we think which are precious, but all in the body together give a pretty good reflection of the Father. You know? All of us together. It takes all of us. Not the guys in front. Not the guys who come to South Carolina. Not the guys who live here. Not the ones who live in North Carolina. Not the guys, and guys and gals, you know, the generic guys, as I say. All of us are needed to show the world who He is. Right? We're all needed. We all have power. We all have benefit. We all have purpose. We need to realize you're all special. Not just some, not just few, not just the ones we understand, or the ones we don't understand, not just the mystics, not the non-mystics, not the ones at the door, not the ones who should be not coming in now, the ones practicing walking through the door who failed, number one, you know. Maybe if they walk through the door, I'm not teaching anymore. You may have the throne. You know, you're qualified. You know? You pass the test. Enter in and teach us all, right? Like, what's going on here? Yay, fun times. So as we ponder this whole light thing and the Father of lights, and which is, you know, I read the verse, I thought, and I was okay with Jesus being light being. I wasn't quite okay with me being light being. I'm just getting comfortable with being a spirit being, you know, now spirit light being. What? Okay. So, but we're pondering this, you know. And so, but we, I think one of the biggest fruits of the fall of the Adam and Eve deal is we just default to trying to work and prove, right? And I'm learning. I'm really now, because I used to be big into performance and earning something and trying to prove myself to Him and you know, kind of, you know, buy my salvation or buy His goodness or, you know, be good enough for His love and all that kind of stuff, you know. But I'm learning that if I would just respond to his goodness and not try to work for his goodness, and it's about if I can just start learning to respond to his love. I think that's my new definition for maturity, to respond to his good nature of love. Not what I think he is, not to the shakings, the mountain, the power, but God is love, God is light. I'm just going to respond to your character. I'm going to respond to your goodness. I'm not going to try to understand it. I'm just going to respond to it. Mm-hmm. If you ever, on someone that you love or know really well and just rub their shoulder, they never, well, if you don't sneak home, they never say, stop that. They go, oh, a little bit to the right. What if I responded to the Father like that? If I accepted his love for me and just responded in like manner, right? That's not evangelism. That's just, hey, right? They go, what is that? I don't know. I'm just loving. Well, you're supposed to tell me how bad I am. Yeah, whatever. You're like going, like, wait. It's like I was at a meeting, and this wrecked my life because I went to this meeting really to figure out what was going on in my strong Pharisaical self, and because I couldn't believe it was this good. There had to be drugs behind it. That's what they were, just way too happy, and there were going to be drugs there. And my pursuit was so supported by the enemy. I'm actually at the meeting, and the police came in, undercover police. And the guy said, I know there are drugs here. And in my heart, I was like, I do too. And the guy came in the middle of the room and goes, and I'm going to find them. And I said, I went, good, because I can't find them. And then he says, who's in charge here? And I'm thinking, wait, they already left. And because I'm the biggest guy in the room, who's conscious, because everyone else is, they're all like, I guess I'm in charge. Darn it. So I raised my hand, because when people are in authority and they have badges, you should be polite and raise your hand, because you want to be recognized and not, take over any authority, because, especially because there's probably a gun involved, And so I go, sir, and it's always good to address them as sir. Sir, there's no one in charge, and by faith I said, and there's no drugs. I said by faith, because I wasn't quite sure. And he says, oh, I will find the drugs. I went, he's focused. He's more focused than I am. And then he goes, and there are bodies in the lobby. And I went, now it was okay with the drug thing, because I personally believe there was drugs involved. The bodies in the lobby thing kind of went like, bodies in the lobby. Now I've seen a lot of CSI shows, a lot of detective shows, a lot of Mission Impossible, a lot of all these action deals. When you say bodies, that means dead bodies, or whatever the case is. It's hard to fake a body, right? I mean, you can't like, oh, is that a sheet or a body? It's a body. You can't, So I'm thinking, like, so he leaves the room with his police. And this is a real deal. This wasn't an encounter. This was a live, You're like, what was Wally sleeping? So there's only like 8 people in the room, and they were bodies on the floor. And I thought, well, all right, you guys, come out of your fake trances or whatever you're doing. You must leave the room, because the guy will probably come back. And since I'm in charge, I think, get out of the room. So they're crawling and moving. Because I wanted to get out of the room that goes to the bodies in the lobby. Because I'm thinking, that'd be kind of cool. And so I get in the hall. I get out of the room, get them out of the room. In the hallway, there are other policemen in uniform. I'm like, whoa. Okay. And then in the lobby, there was those dogs, like your dog, but these dogs are designed to sniff out drugs. So that guy was legit.
Yeah.
And he had some resources. I'm thinking, I needed dogs because, you know, so I'm in the lobby and there's a lot of policemen in the lobby, more than one. There's at least four, not including the undercover guy who had the badge under his shirt. He pulled it out. And a dog, but I'm okay with that. Well, not really. That was kind of weird. But I'm looking for bodies in the lobby, right? And it was a kind of a cheesy hotel. It wasn't a 5-star. It was a good, maybe 2-star hotel. So 2-star, not big lobbies, right? So I'm thinking, there's no bodies in the lobby. What's this guy talking about? I'm going to get my friends and get out of here. I go out in the parking lot. There were bodies on top of cars. I'm not lying. They were just flopped over cars. I'm thinking, there's bodies in the parking lot. There's no bodies in the... And it was the weirdest deal. And I've seen too many Last Days movies, you know, and too many war movies, and too many. So there wasn't any blood, but there were bodies on top of cars. Not stacked on cars, but like a body on this side, and a body in the front, and a body. And I'm like, and it wasn't hundreds of bodies, but it was like, 1, 2. I'm not counting the people in the room, I'm counting the bodies in my memory. 1, 2. I don't know, 7 over here, and like... I don't know, 5 or 6 over here, and then people kind of staggering in the parking lot. So there was more than one body, so there were bodies, plural, not in the lobby, but on top of cars. Now, in my past, I was a bouncer, and I know how to deal with drunk people, but this was a little different, you know, because I wasn't sure. I could carry 2 or 3 bodies, but I couldn't carry 7 or 9 bodies. And with police officers inside the lobby, I'm thinking, if I stack them up, then that's got to be wrong. It's got to be illegal, stacking bodies, and they're going to call a wagon and take the bodies. Now, this is kind of new, this whole trancy, weird pass out to me. And it's I'm an usher, too, so I'm a very good catcher. So if you ever need to be caught, just kind of give me the finger before they touch you, and I'll catch you, and you won't hit the ground. I'm a whole different teaching on the etiquette of protocols of catching. But anyway, so I'm looking at these bodies, to my surprise, there's actually bodies. And I'm thinking like, we'll move. Or, you know, I'm here now and you can get up and go. You know, well, there's no one moving, and they're not moving. And they're not like twitching. They're just like, you know, relaxed looking. You know, and their feet are on the ground. They're cross the hood, cross the back. They're just there. And I'm like, why are they there? And they were people from the meeting who are now draped on cars, right? So I'm like going, in my lightning quick mind, I go, this isn't right. I mean, we got... So I'm still standing there. Now, so I'm very protective. So first of all, the bodies that came with me must not get in my car. The other bodies, even though we're family, I'm thinking they're secondary. So I'm like, hey, you better get up. I don't care where you think you are. Come back, you know, and get in my car. So there's 3 of my friends are there. Well, one's in the lobby, conscious. One is leaning against the car, so that doesn't count as a body in the car, but he's just leaning. And so get away from the car with those, because I don't know if it's infectious, you know, they get caught, you know, you touch them, they go out or something like that. So get in my car. So I'm thinking, I'm using my commanding voice, so I'm thinking the others will respond. Nothing. So I can, my car is across the parking lot, so I, you know, click it open with my little remote deal so that my people can help be responsible and get inside the car and it'll be safe from the police who are going to eventually come out and say, hey, get off those cars, you know. And so I'm going like, okay, what do people who are drunk, because it has to be drunk, because I don't know spiritual drunk, I know drunk. I go, what's a common factor? Food. Food does all things. So I yell, hey, there's pizza down the street. And they come off the car. And I'm lying. These bodies come off the car, and then I'm like, follow me to the pizza. And I'm like going down, I'm the Pipe Piper, you know. And so they get off the cars and are like, they're like staggering towards me, and I'm walking faster to get, and I get in the car, and I had this group of people, 7 or 8 people, walking down the hill to the pizza place that's down the hill. And so I get there really quick. I to make sure they're all moving, you know. So, but I get there so they know where to go. So I turn my lights on bright, and I crank this music up really loud so that the people who want pizza will come to the place, because I was wrong. It was a pizza place, but it was shut down. So now I'm feeling like, you know, they're going to be mad at me, but they're not conscious, so I guess it's okay, you know. But in my mind, they'll be away from the police. But on the way down the hill, there was more police cars. And I'm like, what's going on here? Well, surely they're not there for real drugs, or if they are, oh, this is weird, you know. So I'm thinking, like, I wonder if the Apostle Paul had to deal with this, you know, this kind of deal, you know. And so I'm down the hill, my car, my people there, and I'm not lying. I look up the hill, and it wasn't like a, it was a hill, so it was like a half a block, and there's people staggering down the hill. And I'm like going, like, now this is pre all those zombie movies, but it looked like a bunch of zombies walking down the hill, right? And I'm like going, like, I don't believe this. Now, if I had been smart, I would have taken a picture, you know, to prove this, because none of y'all believe it, because you're going, like, Wally's kind of embellishing it a little bit. He's taking it even more. I promise you I'm not. And after the tape's over, I'll tell you who it was, and you'll go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we've heard about that guy. Okay. So, anyway, long story short, the body's finally come down. And they're now dancing around the car. And I'm thinking, it's all this kind of a really cool deal. And I'm thinking, like, wow, they can move for dead people. But they're not dead. They're drunk. They're druggies. That's what it is. You know? So I'm having my little new doctrine about people like that. So, but we can't stay there because the pizza place is closed. And I'm thinking that the police saw the people staggering down the hill. And eventually they'll come down and say, ID, breathalyzer, you're acting weird, get in the car. Because I don't know if you're spiritually drunk, if your blood, I don't know what happens, right? I don't know. But if you're acting weird, they put you in the car and they take you away. So they get them all down there, and I'm like, okay, they're going to realize any second now there's no food. You know, and I can't be responsible for 15 people. I can fit 5 or 6 in my car if I squeeze them in. So I go, okay, look, I know where another pizza place is. Let's get in our cars and go there. Well, and I'm thinking they'll sober up. I mean, how long does this take? You know, I mean, you know, and they don't. And so one girl is, I'm thinking, and I'm really, you know, I thought they're all faking it, right? And I'm all into, you're doing it for attention's sake, you know, okay, look, there's no one looking. The guest speaker left already. You're out of the meeting. It's okay now. It's okay. They're not coming out of it, right? And so one girl, she was actually videotaping the meeting, and I'm like, take her keys. She can't. I mean, she's faking it so well. She's going to jail. I mean, because I'm like, get her keys, and I can't touch her because, I mean, it looked kind of weird me carrying this, you know, petite girl. So you get in the car because she's not driving. And this, whatever, you know. And this one guy goes, dude, I don't have my license. Okay, you get in the car, because if you swerve one bit and you get pulled over with no license, you're definitely going to jail too. So you get in the car. And the rest of them were kind of like, I kind of left some dancing in the parking lot, and I left others, and I said, like, you know, go with God, kind of deal. So I get to the pizza place, and about an hour later, they kind of come to-ish, right? And I'm thinking, I want to interview them, go, so what were you thinking about this deal? So anyway, so that was that deal. So I'm not quite to the point where I was trying to get to. So the next night, I'm there, and I'm still thinking people have wasted their money because they walk in the door and they go in these trances. I'm thinking, you wasted $35. If you're going to be unconscious, why come? You could have been unconscious at home, right? You're not hearing anything. You're missing all this deal. And I don't believe your spirit hears it. You got to be fully conscious and take notes like me. You must be like me. If you're not like me, you're not getting anything, you know? And so this one girl walks in unconscious, crawls the front in my bouncer mentality. And I want to tell them about the police officer from last night, but no one wants to know because they don't care. I care, you know, but no one went to care, and I can't even share the testimony about this cool story. Anyway, so this girl, blonde girl, ends up coming here, and I'm sitting here. Everyone's dancing. I'm like, don't dance with the cute girls, because that's wrong. She's your sister in the Lord. Don't break her body, you know. So I'm protecting her. And they're dancing over there. She's still there. This guy who's tattooed in the meeting comes up, asks the transy girl. She kind of comes to. He says, what's it like to be where you are? And her eyes roll up in her head. They roll back. And they keep going. I'm like, oh my God, it's drugs. It's got to be drugs. And she points her finger at the guy. And she says, you can't fake this and God. And I'm thinking, like, I want to know the secret too, you know? And she didn't let out the secret, like, you know? The tattoo guy is upset, you know, he's physically like, I just want to know what it feels like. And I'm like, I can't let on that I want to know too, because I'm just too cool. So he goes back to see, depressed. She's out. 30 minutes goes by. She's still here, not stepped on, because I've done my job. She's free from being stepped on and trampled. She comes to, I'm thinking, okay, I think she's kind of alert. I'm going to ask her a question, but I can't ask her what he asked her because she went out when he asked her. So what's a good question to ask that's not too abrasive, that maybe she'll stay alert? I'll treat her like a little deer. You don't want to spook them, right? So I say, hi. I thought it was safe, you know? And she said, hi. And she didn't pass out. I'm thinking, okay, I'm one for one. What's another safe question? How are you? And she says, good. Really slow and druggish, you know? And I'm like going, okay, this is taking way too long. But you can't spook them off, you know, because she'll pass out. And anyway, so I'm thinking, okay, I got it. So where are you from? She says, Atlanta. Okay. I'm like, Atlanta, that's nice. Now, in my little theory of things, I'm thinking that it's people like this congregate together and they go to repeated meetings. They're groupies. They're following. They're into this, you know, they need group association, appreciation, and encouragement. So this is my question to get to the heart of the matter. How many times have you been to one of these meetings? And she's going to say, 412. She goes, this is my second one. Now my theory's blown. Second. No, it's got to be 20 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that. To, you know, to believe this, to have the group think and the whole, you know, kind of deal. To change the social norms, to this behavior is normal, which is very unnormal. And she goes, so I'm like, So I go, so when was the first time? She goes, last week. I'm like, so now I'm looking at her, and this is the first time her eyelids open fully. I can see her whole eye, and not the rolling and squinting and all that kind of stuff. It kind of scared me. I was like, ooh, she has real eyes, you know, kind of deal. So I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, so now it was kind of like, you know, some eyes get kind of foggy type deal. They cleared up and they're really bright, bright blue eyes. I was like, wow, pretty blue eyes. I thought, wait a minute, pretty blue eyes, blonde. I'm married, time to run. It's now not safe because I'm thinking, you know, flee, lustful situations, and, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, she's alert. I've asked my four questions, time to go. And, you know, because there weren't any people around, right? And so I'm thinking, I should leave. No, yes, no, yes. And as I'm going through, I should leave, no, I should leave, okay. She now is kind of really coherent, you know. And I'm thinking, like, so I go, can we ask one more question? I go, so why did you first come to a meeting? I mean, how did you get to one of these? She says, she looks at me and she pauses. And it was like she was looking at me to see if I was really wanting to know or was being curious. You know, that kind of deal of, are you just being curious, or is there a real, real sincere reason? And I felt kind of weird, like, why is she checking me out like that? I'm the one doing the interrogation, and you answer my questions, don't validate me, I'm in charge here, at least in my own mind. So she pauses, and she says, well, a friend of mine was worried about me. I'm being worried about you. And I'm thinking, I do the, what? And she says, yeah, I was boy crazy. I'm thinking, boy crazy? What's boy crazy? So I'm thinking, like, boy crazy? And I think to myself, is that? And she goes, yes, I had sex a lot with boys. Now that's dangerous. I'm like, married guy, sexually active young girl, out of state. This is a bad scenario right now, right? And so every bit of fear in me rises up, and I'm like, oh no, I'm the wrong. I mean, I'm in a public deal, but this is bad, right? You know. So I'm like, I'm now in fear. Forget the glory of God, whatever. I'm in fear, and now I'm like, so I'm like, I wasn't expecting an answer. I'm thinking, what? And I go, wait a minute, you came to this kind of meeting. You came to me like this last week. Your friend, who's concerned for you, takes you to. Doesn't compute. I go, I'm sorry. That so I've stopped being, you know, pat answer my pat questions, and I'm like, no, that makes no sense. If you have that kind of issue, you go to Marilyn Hickey, you go to Women's Ministry, you go to Sozo, you go to those kind of things, not to this kind of meeting. You go to, you know. So I'm looking at her, and then all of a sudden she stands up. I've never seen her walk. I mean, I've seen her crawl, roll. I saw her, and she stands up, and I'm like, why are you standing up? Because I didn't know she could walk. I mean, she stands up, I'm sitting down. She looks at me, and she goes, and I'm thinking, like, well, if you had that issue, why did your friend bring it? And I go, well, so? She goes, when I left the meeting, I no longer wanted guys. I wanted Jesus. Mm. And I went, what? I mean, that is... I'm like, what? I went, because I don't know this, right? I don't know this kind of love. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, and she looks at me, she like zeroes into my eyes, and she goes, you know what you need? She points at me. I go, I'm nodding my head, no. And I'm just like, I'm in shock that she can stand. I'm in shock that a person had a lust issue, gets totally set free by Jesus, and now is fully satisfied with the love of God, and is standing in front of me. And she says, you need a crush on Jesus. That's what you need. And I'm like, now I have a hard heart, very analytical, non-hugging, not really knowing the love of a father, love of the Father God, non. She raises her hand and says, crush. And I went, whoa. And she released the love of God on me. I had never knew what that was until that moment. Right? And so I went back to the beginning right there. Back into his heart, to where my heart expanded and received the love of God for the first time. And when that happened, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm undone, you know. And she walks off, and I sat in the chair, and I couldn't move, you know, kind of deal, you know. And but that is a response to love. You don't work at it, you just respond to love. And a girl who had a major issue responded to the love of God. It was totally undone. And a guy who's been working really hard to prove that he was worthy of God's love responded to the love of God. And I was changed based on a response, not on a work or trying to get something done or trying to prove. It was just I sat there and received. And a lot of us need to learn how to receive, period. It was no teaching. You know, there was no structure. It was just crush, you know, kind of deal. And so, yeah. So it's about a response. Maturity is responding to love, okay? That is deep calls to deep. That is, deep does not try to be deep. It responds to deep, okay? you pursue your lover, you'll be transfigured.
Yes.
Period. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Pursue your lover of your soul, and you'll be totally wrecked and changed. You trying to be a better person? Forget being a better person. Be a lover. Okay? The Father is not seeking workers. He's seeking lovers. Okay? He needs no more workers. He's got a lot of workers. He's got a lot of slaves out there, servants.
Yes.
He's got a lot of churchgoers who are trying to earn things. He needs lovers, people that love him, period.
That's right. Yeah.
Not trying to earn anything. He just needs lovers.
Yes.
That's who he's looking for.
Yeah.
We love because he first loved us. Not we deserve his love. No. We don't deserve Jack. But we have the opportunity to respond to his love. Isaiah 61 is an invitation. He says, arise and shine. He's like, his hand out to you, arise. Mm-hmm. How can we shine? Because he's in us. He's like, let me out. Be radiant. Not about, okay, I don't know, pump up the light. No, let me shine through you. It's an invitation to unity. It's an invitation to be not who you are, but who he is. He's made that way possible. Arise, shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord. Not your excellence, his brilliance. Not your works, not even your giftings. Him. Arise, shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord. He goes, for your light has come. Not you have produced the light. He has come into you. He's going, I'm here. Let me shine through you. No, Father, hold on. The world is really messy out there. Let me get cleaned up. Let me get a suit. Let me. Then we'll talk about letting you out. But until then, you be quiet. That's how we treat the King of Glory. That's wrong. But there's lots of Bible schools, teachings, tapes, books that say that. Not in those words. But that's the deal. He says, be brilliant. I'm in you. Your light has come. It's not about you. It's about me. Be radiant. Let me radiate from you. Right? Whew. And the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 60 verse 3. Nations will come to your light. What? Kings, the brightness of your rising. No, it means to mean if you have a good campaign, a good advertisement, a big building, nations will come to you. No, he didn't say that. Nations will come to your light. What light is it? The light you're carrying. Nations are people and also spiritual beings. I want to see my angels. I want to shine. Just like moths are attracted to light. Spiritual beings, spirit of wisdom, that moth there,
yeah,
and all these things, they're attracted. So the nations will come to your light. That's real earthly people. And other dimensional people,
yeah,
beings, entities, sentient stuff, they're coming to your light. And when they come, don't tell them about you, tell them about him. Okay? When an angel shows up, when an alien shows up, when someone from a different dimension shows up, don't go, oh my gosh, you got three heads. Don't do that. Don't fixate on them, fixate on the love of your soul. And say, wow, I've never seen you before. Is that a tentacle? Cool. The Creator loves you too. I release light. Not a teaching. Not a word of wisdom. Not a gifting. Release who's in you. Because arise, shine. His light has come. And he's on you, in you, upon you. When they start coming to you for answers, don't go, whoa, you're here. Oh my God, you're here. Don't do that. Go, let your light, let there be light, let it out. All right. The kings, the brightness of your rising, that's governments and other realms. And just like the Magi came to Jesus at the deal, they followed the star. There are ambassadors come from other realms that want to see, talk to you. Not because of you, because who you carry. But my background is so, I haven't gone to college. You have the King of Kings in your belly. They're coming. Kings are coming to talk to the king in you. And they know that you're a king in training. They expect a lot of you. Just like Bathsheba came to Solomon. Okay. I've heard a lot about you. I'm going to come check you out. There are people, there are entities in other realms who've heard a lot about your creator. And they're coming to check you out. So get ready. Did I give them a track? No. Okay. I'm just saying. Okay. Light beings in other realms look like Ezekiel 1, verse 13 through 14. Among the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches moving back and forth among the living beings. The fire was bright, and lightning was flashing with the fire. The living beings moved rapidly back and forth like flashes of lightning. The lightning around the throne, that's not lightning. Those are living things. Okay. Those are light beings. They were alive. When you close your eyes and sometimes you see little sparky thingies, those are living beings, not your imagination going misfire in your brain. It's not your synapses sending electricity across. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a little guy who's actually a big guy saying, "Hello, I want to talk to the one in you." I don't see you. I don't see you. I don't see you. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Go away. Go away. Go away. You need to pause, realize who's in you, and go, "Father, you know, you're kind of royal. And so, like, I guess that's royal. I'm royalty because, like, you're King of Kings. And, like, so, like, when you have parties, when my mom had parties, people came over, and, like, my mom would say, stay upstairs until they leave. Now, if you have parties, they come visit you, do I have to go away? No, son. I want to introduce you to them. Okay, well, what do I say? Say what I tell you to say. Oh, so I don't have to prepare, work up a script. I don't have to work hard. You know, just hang out with me. Wow. Okay, thank you. But if you never check in, you won't be ready for those visiting dignitaries, right? You'll be ready for people that, what? I didn't think you were going to come. I'm telling you right now. People are going to knock on your door. You're going to be on the plane, on the train, the bus. And someone's going to say, like, can you help me? Don't answer from your head. Answer from your relationship. Okay? The difference there? We're so used to answering from our experience and from our understanding. Lean not upon your understanding. Trust in him. Where is him? He's right there with you. So you need to start right now having those conversations so that when that stranger talks to you, you don't go in fear, you don't go into worry, you don't go in, I don't think I can help you. Start practicing right now. This is where you get to play your imagination. Hey, Father, what if a one-armed blind guy with half a leg comes with me and he wants money? What do I do? You start practicing, right? So that when it happens, you're not like, he's coming towards me. He's coming towards me. And the smell's coming first. Oh, you know, let's get ready. What do you do when that guy with an Armani suit that costs $5,000 comes up to you and says, "So Wally, there's a merger between my $5 billion company and this another nation. What's your opinion about this?" Who are you talking to? Me? I'm sorry. My boss isn't here right now. Can you come back? I'm talking to you. Don't do that. I should practice right now to give forth an answer not from my head, not from my 25 years of experience, but from my relationship. Right? I should not be freaking out by billions of dollars when the one in me owns everything, right? I should not be teased or tempted by, "Well, you know, if you give me a good answer, I may give you $1 million. Okay? I shouldn't be moved by that either. I should be moved and answer from my relationship with the King of Kings, the King of Glory. I should release light all the time because he said, 'Arise, shine.'"
I'm here, or do I not believe it? Well, now that I've heard it, I have a choice to believe it or not believe it. And I'm saying, believe. It's better to believe than doubt. Okay?
And that's who we are.
So,
how to become a light being in this realm?
Here we go. Here's a secret. I'm going to tell you. Or do we say, it's getting late now, so you guys come back tomorrow.
Oh, I won't be here tomorrow. So maybe next year you'll find out how to be a light being. They're all tired now. They're really, no. Okay, so John 12:36. While you have the light, believe and trust in the light, so that you may become sons of light. Wait a minute, that's too simple. There's got to be some working involved here. All it says is, while you have the light, that's the Lord, right? Believe and trust in the light. Right? Have faith in it, hold on to it, rely on it. Oh, here it is. Pay $1 million, tithe really a lot, go to a lot of church meetings, make sure you attend all those international conferences, and then you may be qualified and selected out of the many few, out of the remnant, if you keep your life spotless, and maybe, just maybe, you become a... It doesn't say that. It just says, while you have the light, believe and trust, and you will become a son of light, a being filled with light as followers of God. Okay, that's too simple. Why is God to make it so simple? Because he's God. Mm-hmm. Okay? Only thing he's asking you to do is to believe him. He does the hard work. Mm-hmm. He'll transform you. He'll transfigure you. He'll change your DNA. He'll give you the right mind. He will, he will, he will. He will, he will, he will. He will, he will. Why will he will? Because he wants the credit. And he's good at it. When we do stuff, we're not so good. I mean, you know, we try really hard. Some of us try a little better. Some of us are almost, but he's really, really good, right? And he's just saying, trust me. You want to be a son of light? Trust me. I'm here. I will transform you. I will transfigure you. I will make you brand new. Okay? All things begin by believing. All things begin in the beginning, right? Go to the beginning and just believe, right? Just, you know, how can it be that simple? You know, but why do we make things so hard, right? That's the deal. We have to stop doing that. Light. Light expressed on a human being will cause you to be a spirit being and then turn you to a light being. You go back to the beginning. In the beginning was light. Right? We're just going back full circle.
Yeah.
We're just going back to the origin.
That's right.
Just going back to light. It's not like, where are we going? We're going back. What? Full circle?
Yeah.
Started in light. We're in a dark world. Mm-hmm. We receive the light. And we're going back to being light beings. That's right. Going full circle. Oh my gosh. Not linear, but circle. 2 Corinthians 10:2. Acting according to the flesh on a low level of worldly motives. Oh, that's at low level, only human power. We have a choice to live according to our understanding, our abilities, our pedigree, our parents' background, or believe in him. Okay? And there's lots and lots of ministries out there that say, well, that's true, but first of all, we need to spend a few years going through some of your traumas. And let's revisit. No, I have a crush ministry. But no, that doesn't make any money, so we have to make money. So let's spend some time going through some trauma and revisit your childhood, revisit. Or we can just let the Father do something deep and good and fast. Right? Where do you want to put your belief at?
If you believe for long sozo, long deliverance, long restorations of foundation, all of these are major ministries, you know, if you believe in that, then that's your path. But Jesus is the way. And love never fails. So, now either way should lead you, but there's one that's a lot more God than other. Neither one are evil, right? But if there's a guaranteed way, the only requirement is me to believe and trust him versus believing some people, tell some people some secrets and they handle it, not handle it very well, train, not so train, not so as patient with me as God is patient with me, maybe not understand the things we're doing, or put my faith totally in the Lord. I'm just saying, okay. A house divided is not in harmony. So there's a Matthew 12 scripture, Matthew 12, 25, Mark 3, 25, and Luke 11, 17. And then they all say something about a house divided against itself will fall. Luke 17, 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 17 says, but he, knowing the thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against its house falls. And so Matthew says it, Mark says it, Luke says the same thing. So I'm looking at that and I'm going, wait a minute, we're missing the gospel. How come John doesn't talk about this house divided? I said, God, was John asleep from the assignment? Did he miss the host? Did he miss the message? Was he not taking notes? Did he kind of doze a little bit? And the Lord showed me a picture. John was so busy with his head on the Father's, on Jesus' chest.
Yeah.
He didn't go down the path of notes and the path of protocol and the path of stuff. Mm-hmm. He went right to the heart.
That's right.
During Jesus' last days, his heart was on his chest. He was known as the disciple that the beloved disciple, the disciple that Jesus loved, you know. What if that was your title? Oh, that's the guy that Jesus loves. That's a label that I want to have. I don't want the label of Christian. I don't want the label of mighty man of God. I want the label of God loves that guy. What if everyone said that? That's a title that I'd like to earn. How do you earn that? Hanging out with your head on his chest, right? Is that a public ministry? Not really.
No.
He didn't run around going, look at me, look at my head, look where I'm at, hello, selfie. He didn't do that, right? He was just so focused on, I got to know you. I need you. I need you. I need you, I need you, I need you. And probably, this is me conjecturing, not a word from the Lord, when Jesus said, it's better for me to go, he's probably talking to John. I think the other disciples didn't care. They're like, okay, when you go, can I get your car? John's like, he can't go. He's probably, you know, John's head's right in his chest. He's probably speaking down. And it's only in the Gospel of John, the whole thing about the Holy Spirit. I just got that. It's not in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I don't think they cared. You know, they weren't relationship focused. I'm just saying, right? So look at that. There's some amazing things on relationship in the book of John, and not as clear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Just saying. If you want some tips on getting that title beloved, it's in John's book, not in the other guy's book. Okay? He got the title, they didn't, right? And then Peter, well, hey, you know. Sons of Thunder. Well, that's kind of cool. It's about relationship. As he is, so are you. 1 John, that's 4:17. Because as he is, so are you. Yeah, that's cool stuff. Ephesians 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do we do that? Father, how do I walk as a child of light? you're the Father of Lights, he's the best source for information on how to walk, right? He says, I'm your Father, I begot you, I made you. He knows how you should walk. I don't know, you don't know, go to the source. Don't read a book, go to the source. Your Father of Lights knows how you should live. Go ask him. Hey, how do I raise my kids? How do I do my job? How do I play piano? How do I take care of a dog? How? How do I walk as a light being? Right now, in this state, in North America, wherever you're listening to, right? Verse 9. For the fruit of light consists in goodness and righteousness and fruit. Now the fruit of good works, the fruit of light. If you be who you are, this comes out. That's pretty cool. And then verse 10, trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord. And I said, Lord, it's good for us to learn what's pleasing to you. He goes, read it again. Trying to learn, read it again. Trying, I go, there's nothing wrong with the scripture. Yes, there is. Nothing wrong. Yes, there is. Nothing wrong. And the reason why I felt there was nothing wrong, because I've taught it, and I've heard this taught that we need to learn how to please God. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, right? Husbands need to learn how to please their wives, and wives need to learn, please, you know, sounds pretty good. I'm thinking, God, I think this scripture's okay. He goes, nope. I go, okay, you got to show it to me, because I'm thick-skinned here. Trying, here's a simple thingy. If I tell you to try to drive a car, it's different from driving the car. You can try all you want, but you're not doing it, right? So religion will let you try to know God. It'll tell you, you need to try it, but don't know him. Just try to know him. That's like saying, try to go out the door. You'll be there all night. I'm trying. And you've heard people say, I'm just trying to serve the Lord. Don't try. Don't. Just be. Mm-hmm. Be a lover and you'll be okay. But trying, this is when, and so as I was meditating this, the Lord showed me back in the Garden of Eden, the devil said, you know, don't you want to be like God? If you eat the fruit, you'll be like God. They already were like God. And that's, they got their eyes off the Father. And so that's for the enemy. Religion will tell you, try this out. You know, try to serve the Lord. Try. Try working. If you try, you're not doing, you're not being, you're not motivated out of love, you're motivated out of kind of working mentality. Okay. The Lord said, it's like trying to breathe versus breathing. If anyone's ever had any breathing issues, there's the, I can't get breath. Breathing is a cycle. It's in and out. You just do it. You don't, if you try to do it, you're just going either or that's trying to breathe. Breathing is just fairly effortlessly, unless you're in high altitude, right? But it's just like, it's not a work. It's just a process that you flow into, right? But when you try to breathe, it's just, you know, oh, and think about it. Inhale. Exhale. That's a work, right? So there's a big difference between, well, on paper, it doesn't seem to be a big difference. But in reality, trying to be a believer and being a believer is a big difference. There's a difference between works, a works righteousness, and receiving the righteousness of God, right? And the motivation is totally different too, right? Lord said, He said, I wrote in my capital, he says, stop trying and lean on me. So that's my word to you guys. Stop trying and just lean on him. Stop trying to be a Christian. Stop trying to be a believer and just be and just lean all your thoughts, understandings on him, right? Just stop it. And so I think I want to end with this one last story.
That's when you come out of the wilderness.
Yeah, that's good. How do you come out? By leaning, right?
Well,
or do you want to stay in?
Song
yeah, Song of Solomon. Yeah,
that's
how you come out. So one day, you know, we're all on a journey. We're all trying to, you know, at some level be obedient and do things. And you know, and I like the Lord to make it very, 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 very clear. When he tells me to do something, I'm like going, I really don't understand it. When there's something that I totally don't understand, he's saying, oh, just do it. But I don't understand it. I don't know how to do it. Just do it. You know? So one day, I was at a meeting, and this Well, I'd heard, anyway, so I go to this prayer, I go to my friend's church, but I don't tell them I'm coming, okay? And in their church service, they have pre-prayer, you know, kind of prayer time for like an hour, then the service, right? So I show up early for prayer time. And, you know, I went to Bible school overseas, and in Bible school overseas, we had prayer school, an hour and a half, so I know how to pray. I've been taught to pray, I've led prayer, I've led prayer school. I am a seasoned veteran on prayer, right? And even though I don't pray a whole lot, but I know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm at their church, and so I perfected the nice pacing march type prayer, strong tongues, a lot of hand flailing stuff, you know. I'm looking very effective and powerful, right? You know, I don't know about intimidating demons, but I intimidate people very well, you know. So I've got my mode of prayer, and I'm there early, and I'm ready to roll, right? You know, a couple of shundais, a couple of fist pumps, and like, you know, really, really enjoying my prayer time and my freedom. So I get up the front row because, you know, I need space, you know. It's a non-pew praying. I need a good 4 feet by 12 to get the flow going. I need some air, you know. So I don't stretch because I usually stretch in the car before I come out to full prayer. You know? So I'm fully engaging, fully active prayer guy, you know. Now this is because I used to believe that, you know. So now I'm full on prayer, right? So I go to do my deal, right? And Lord says, don't open your mouth, don't move, release your spirit. I'm like, excuse me? It's morning prayer. And I get to do the, yeah. And he says, don't open your mouth, don't move, just release your spirit. And I say, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what you mean by that. I am not that guy. The guy who does that, I saw last night, you know. And he said, and it was the weirdest deal, because the night before, two nights earlier, the guy said, walked up to me and says, you know, when you release your spirit and it's out there, it's tough getting it back, isn't it? He says this to me, and I'm looking at him going like, he goes, you know what I mean? I go, I have no idea what you mean. And why are you talking to me? It was freaky, because I was talking to a guy. This guy walks up, who's a, I'll tell you the name later on, walks up and says, you know, interrupt the conversation. And looks at me, you know when you release your spirit and it's out there, it's sometimes tough bringing it back in. I'm going like, I don't know what you're talking about at all. I don't release my spirit. He's safe in here. We're good to go. You know what I mean? I don't have a visual. And I'm like, and he walks off. I turn to my friend and go, do you know anything about that? No, neither do I. Why did he interrupt the story? I don't know. Well, that was weird. So I hear this weird deal. I go home and pray about it. I go to my hotel room, ask God about it. Nothing. No clarity. No runaway, no nothing, right? A day later, I'm at a church. Lord says, release your spirit. I go, I'm not him. He is on his way to another part of America. Go tell him. He knows what you're talking about. And the Lord didn't budge. And I'm like, I can't do my deal. I got really good at it now. This is only my third time in this church. I think they're ready for me to do. Last time I get to do it. And he says, he didn't say anything. So I'm standing there not doing anything. And I personally hate people who do silent prayer. I think it's not praying. I think it's fake. But now I'm doing it. I'm standing there silent. I'm not praying in tongues. I'm not praying in my mind. I'm going, I don't know how to release my spirit. I don't know how to release my spirit. I don't know how to release my spirit. Give me some steps, give me a pointer, give me a picture, give me something. And all I hear, not from the Lord, you know, the just live by faith. Do it by faith. I'm like, but I can't fake it. I don't know how to do it. Is there a hand movement involved? I'm sitting there, and so I'm standing there, and I feel like people are looking at me. I mean, maybe they weren't, but I'm thinking, I would be looking at me. So they're looking at me. So I'm now into what are they doing? But I can't turn around and look at them because then I am, you know. So I'm thinking, okay, God wants to release my spirit. Okay, let's analyze this. Release my spirit. Release. And he said, don't speak. Okay. So I go, in my thought life, I go, okay, spirit, release. And I wanted to feel something to know it went or it was released. You know, I wanted to feel a psst or something. I wanted, you know, and felt nothing. I'm standing there, not a feeling, I feel lighter, I feel heavier, I feel godly, I feel glorious, I feel tingly. I'm feeling nothing. I'm feeling stupid. And I'm standing there thinking, are you released yet? How long does it take? How long does the release take? That guy did say it was tough getting him back in. So I'm just standing there, right? Now, people, there are some pacers there. And the people are walking by me. I'm thinking, don't look at them. You know? Don't make eye contact because they'll see my lips not moving. And they'll go like, he's doing silent prayer. He doesn't know yet about the power of words of life and death. I'm thinking, I teach this stuff. I know this stuff. I know there's power in my tongue. I know. But I can't do that because I'm supposed to release my spirit and not move and not speak. So I'm kind of mad and not knowing what's going on. So I'm standing there, not making eye contact, standing there. I can't look at my watch because that's really unbelief, you know. And so I'm standing there, thinking, is my spirit released? Do I repeat the thought? I don't think so because it doesn't make any difference. I'm standing there. And then this thought says, you were so intimidating them. I'm not doing anything. When I pray in my marching hand, it's intimidating. I scare people. I've been asked not to do it, which means it's effective, you know, kind of. So I'm thinking like, what? How can my standing here not moving be intimidating to people? That's got to be a demon thought. That can't be true. Because I'm just standing there not knowing what's going on, right? And not thinking I'm doing anything. I've just thought, spirit be released. Did I think it right? I mean, I don't know, right? So I'm doing this is by faith, right? Or whatever. So more time goes by, and this voice says, you need to find the strongest spirit in the room. Tell that spirit that you are for them, not against them. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm not intimidating because I'm not moving. Because I'm thinking intimidating means must see action. And what's the strongest spirit? Is this a demon? But it didn't feel like a demon. And how do I find the strongest spirit in the room but not moving? Right? So I'm thinking like, how do I find? And I'm all in my head, you know. I'm trying to understand this deal and figure out. I'm trying to cooperate. I'm trying to work with God. And he's not really being very nice as far as I was concerned. So I'm standing there going, okay, I want to do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm not sure that I released my spirit. And someone says I'm intimidating. I don't think I'm intimidating. Now I got to find the strongest spirit in the room. What does that mean? Is that the strongest spirit like a demon, strongest spirit angel, strongest spirit a person? And all of a sudden I say person in my mind. I'm standing in front of someone that was on a throne. I knew that someone was a female. I know that someone had in her right hand a staff. Right hand a staff, but it was in left hand staff. And right hand, the person had an orb. And the orb was a round thing with like a roundish thingy, right? Here. And staff. I'm like, wow. My imagination is going pretty good now. But now I was standing what I thought was the strongest deal. And my instructions were, tell the strongest spirit in the room. And I thought, well, you got a throne, a staff, and an orb. I think you're, you know, that's just saying. So in my mind, I say, okay, I'm for you, not against you. And then I heard the vision of the church. And this is not my church. I heard this plan and purpose. And I was listening to this interaction. And then it wasn't finished, and all of a sudden I felt a pain on my chest, like someone hit me. I opened my eyes, and my friend, who I didn't tell that I was coming, physically hit my chest and said, "Boom, what are you doing here?" And I came out of this deal almost like, you know, I wanted to scream, but I couldn't scream, because if I would have screamed, I would have said, "Dude, I was talking to the strongest spirit." And I think, not going there, right? And I open my eyes, and it's a real physical, you know, sting, you know. And I'm looking at this guy going, "Do you know where I was?" He goes, "No." I go, "Well, I didn't really know either." And I couldn't explain to him. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, okay, what time is it? And it was like 9:45. It was 45 minutes into, anyway, so it was, service is at 10:30. It was 10:15. Whatever, it had been 45 minutes. And I'm kind of mad that he got me out of this deal. I'm kind of happy because I wasn't really doing very well in the deal. And I thought this was just a nice waste of 45 minutes of whatever it was, right? And so my chest was stinging now. And so they did worship. Worship was cool. They went to this longer extended worship. I got to play with the worship team. That was fun. Yay, fun. They go into this little prophetic deal. So their house prophet just gave all these prophetic words and ended up giving me a word. So he's standing in front of me, giving this word that was a wild word. They squeeze an usher behind me. I'm not sure why, because I don't go down, but just in case, they got a guy behind me. And I'm like, I'm receiving this word like this, you know. I look up, you know, I'm fully alert. I see the guy. So the guy's there, his wife's there. The pastor, apostle, whatever her title is, comes over here. I go into the full receive mode, and I close my eyes. And the pastor puts her hand over my hand, and I feel the orb. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I went, you know, like that. Yeah. And because all of a sudden, all that I did 2 hours earlier was now real.
Yeah.
And I wanted to scream because two hours earlier, it wasn't really real. It was this faith exercise that I wasn't doing very well on, right? Mm-hmm. But when she put her hand over my hand, I felt, I mean, she did this, but I felt this. If that makes sense,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I almost totally forgot the word that this guy was giving me, and I actually did, and I was glad they made a tape of it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But this is the life we're called to live. We're called to live a life of not understanding. To be so obedient that maybe we'll get a confirmation, right? But we're called to do what he says and go on that journey and just be changed. And since that time, you know, me and the apostle of that deal, we had some strange conversations. I've not told her that I think she's the one that I saw, but I came back months later and to their big worship symposium where I met Travel. Okay. And I'm thinking, you know, and the worship leader and her both said, whenever you come to our church, you need to bring your drum. Well, that's nice during a little small church setting, but I'm at an international worship conference with my favorite people, whose names are just McFadden. My favorite worship is leading worship. I can't just bring my drum up there and go, "Hi, they said I could play." That's a no, because the last time I went to her, Joanne McFadden, and Steve, it was Joanne McFadden and Steve Swanson,
yeah.
Right? So you're just gonna go like, "The pastor told me, you know, I know you guys are really good and you're international." Well, so I bring my drums in the car. I go to the night session. I go, and they had a dinner meeting. So I'm sitting there, you know, and they're with these it was international worship symposium. So they have a table with all of the, you know, doctor this and so this. And there's me and there's a little tiny table way over there. There's a head table way up there. And I'm just sitting there, you know, eating my water food. And the apostle lady walks to me and says, "Wally, how are you doing?" I go, "Fine." And I'm just happy to be there. I had time off from work. Da, da, da. I don't know. And 3 days later, I'm about to meet Travel, right? And so I'm just sitting there enjoying this free meal, you know. And I have a house to stay at. I'm staying down there. She goes, "Did you bring your drum?" Very, very nice. She's very dressed all nice. "I did, ma'am. I don't think I saw you on stage. I said, well, ma'am, you know, the International Worship Symposium, and, well, you know, Steve Swanson, Joe McFadder, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm just the guy who has a drum. I did write a book about it, but I, you know, I'm happy about, you know, hanging out in the back, you know. She points her finger at me and says, let me make this perfectly clear to you. Whenever you come to this facility, you will play your drum on stage. Do you understand me? Yes, ma'am. And walks off. So as she walks off, I'll have it here in the morning. And because she rebuked me, I was able to meet Travel, and I was able to be at that place of worship, so that when I went with Travel up the mountain, I saw the songs. It was because I was on the stage from the worship deal. All that wouldn't have happened if I had not been rebuked by the lady who was the lady with the da-da-da-da. So I'm telling you, if you're willing to do whatever he says, you will be changed. Not whatever you understand, but whatever he says. Okay? Then you're changed. Not when it's convenient. Not your way. If you'll go his way, you'll go a far away, you know. And that would be a good thing. So that's about stop trying and lean not upon your understanding. Okay. And that was a hard one, I must be honest with you. And it was almost like I told you, but it was actually worse because actually time did not go very fast. It was like, tick, tick, you know. So I want to do one end with this. 2 Corinthians 10:7. You are looking only at the outward appearance of things. So sometimes we look at ourselves and not look at who's on the inside. We need to learn to live from the inside out. That is not normal, but you're not normal. Okay, go with it. You are not normal. You are a new species on the planet. The King of Glory, you are a carrier of the anointing. You are the Ark of the Covenant. You are the Ark of the Covenant. Steven Spielberg is looking for you. The Raiders of the Lost Ark is about you, right? There are Nazi Germans looking for you. And you're like, here I am. Okay, so you are looking only at the outward appearance. Stop that. If anyone is confident he is Christ, wait. If anyone is confident that you are Christ, how confident are you that you are his? Mm-hmm. How confident are you? Are you really confident? Kind of confident? Little confident? No confidence? What are you doing to stir up? Are you doing a David? David encouraged himself in the Lord. David said to Ziklag, his two wives, his kids, the whole town's burned. All these mighty men of God are crying. And they go, wait a minute, who caused us to leave the town? They turn on David to stone him. And David, in the midst of great trauma, you know, he didn't go to Sozo. He encouraged himself in the Lord, right? When did you encourage yourself in the Lord about your confidence? When did you stir up? When did you reconnect with the Great One who dwells in you? We need to do that a lot more than we do. I'm just saying. So, that you should reflect and consider this, that just as he is Christ, so too are we. What? No. This is when you get to compare. When you see those people that are just godly, you go, wow, if God loves them, he loves me. And I'm special, they're special, we're special. So, will you reflect on these things? Will you consider? Will you consider who you are? Will you reflect on the truth that the King of Glory is in your belly? This will help you. When you start thinking about, not you, I haven't done anything, all I do is drive down here. Excuse me, reflect on the truth. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. The Godhead dwells in you bodily. You know? You are a God. Think on those things. You want to ponder something? Ponder that. Then ask him to reveal it to you. What's it mean? What is the beginning? Is the beginning a place? Is the place in me? Oh my gosh, it's in me. Oh my God. Have those kind of self-reflective conversations. Meditate. Think on these things, right? So what is blocking this light, this life that's right here? It's not far away. It's not on a throne far away. It stands an old rugged cross. There's no distance between you and the glory. Okay? Why do we think there is? Because we sing songs like, come down.
Yeah.
That's called unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to get better at not singing those songs we know are not true. Father, rent the heavens to come down. Well, he did that already.
Yeah.
He already rent the heavens. He already came down. When you sing that, you undo, your faith goes back Old Testament and not New Covenant. Many of us sing Old Covenant songs, which are now lies.
Mm-hmm.
They're not truths for us now. They were true, but they're now not true. If you align with that cool sound on that great worship thingy, you're now saying, God, you're a liar, they're true. But God is not a liar. Man's a liar. And, you know, but the lyric's really cool, and it sounds really cool. Nice arrangement. It's acceptable, but it's not true. It doesn't help you be strong in the Lord. It helps you go like, but I thought he was already here. Oh, well, I guess they're right, because it's a top hit song. You know, there are very few songs out there that really help you be you.
True.
But the fact that you have some money and selection on the radio and CD, you can choose which songs which help you be you, and you can choose which songs which don't help you be you. I used to believe if I just had a Christian song, that was okay. No, you need to go a little further than just having a Christian song. You need to have a song that's Christian, the right spirit, and speaks the truth for you on your path in faith. Not your path. You need to select the music for you, just not the album that you have. What song in the album builds you up on your walk today? What?
Run?
Okay. That's good for you.
Yeah.
I like it too. So me and you, good. The rest of them, I don't know about them. So, but will you take the time to consider and reflect on your music choices, your friends and association choices, the things you read? Are you building yourself up or tearing yourself down? Or are you just wavering, not doing anything at all? You need to cultivate the relationship. Okay? If he's there, let's say hi. So everyone look at me and go, just pat your belly. Okay? And all those people on the radio or the phone or wherever you are, it's okay to do it, right? That's the beginning of a relationship. Now, don't stop there. You look around, I'm in the pat the belly movement. Do you recognize? Are you a card carrier? We don't use it, but we have one. And we pat him. That's how we work with the Father. We recognize the truth. He's right there. Some people stop right there. I've got him. You got him. I got him. You know, but let's go further. Let's talk to him. Let's dance with him. Let's ask him questions. Let's respond to him. Let's receive the crush. Let's let the light shine. Let's radiate. Let's microwave. Let's party with him. I bought my daughter this shirt that has DJs that Jesus is the DJ. You see that one? You even see? Oh, it is really cute. It's got Jesus with the headphones on and the turntable. It says, life of the party. It's the coolest deal. He's in his little religious looking tunic thingy, you know, but with the headphones and on the turn. Yeah. Life of the party. It's a great shirt. I gave it to my daughter. I wanted it, but she liked it more. But so what's blocking your light? Just as breath forms words and releases life, some words can block light. Which words are blocking? Unbelief-based words block life. Fear-based words block life. Earth-based words block life. So many of us don't speak fear. Many of us don't speak unbelief anymore, but we speak earth-based words.
Mm-hmm.
We keep ourselves earthbound and we go natural. This is where we got to change that. Okay? We need to get off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so check your vocabulary. So, you know, in this household, there's a guy that really relates to superheroes. We need to spend more time with that guy. and two parents know who I'm talking about, that guy is not on planet. He believes in all those guys. Why don't we believe in that?
Well, you see, that's for kids. And you see, that's not real.
That's more real than your natural life. That cartoon character with those superpowers is more real than what you see at work every day. Because that is not earthbound. What we see is earthbound. We need to set our mind on the things above, right? So that's what kids do. That's why I have a lot of more sci-fi stuff. Well, you know, sci-fi is fantasy, but it's not earthbound. We need to get off Earth. What are you doing to help you stay off this planet? What are you doing? Well, I didn't think about it before.
See, we have all of our senses hooked into the earth.
Oh.
Our sight, our hearing,
oh,
our taste, our
come
touch.
On.
You know, Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know not of.
Right. Not that he
was going somewhere.
That's right. Not that you can't access it, but he knows where it is.
Exactly.
And why don't you go? Right? Why don't you get there? Well, I didn't know he'd share. He will share. It's for us too. But if we don't step out of our natural, we won't be who we really are. Okay? If you go in the mirror, that's not who you are. Every time you shave for us guys, or you pluck for you girls, or whatever, you pluck whatever, that is not who you are. Okay? So if you need a little reminder or trigger, look in that mirror. That's not me. The day you look in the mirror and you can't see yourself because the light's so bright, then you're there. Until that moment, that is not you. Do you understand that? Very simple test. If you can't see yourself in the mirror, you've arrived. You see yourself, you need to go keep believing. Okay? Very simple. And we'll end with the mirror test, shall we? Thank you very much for the mirror test. Oh, wow. So again, well, there's the last verse. How much more is on here? I have lots more. Okay, the second to last thing. Hebrews 1:3 is where Jesus is the light beam. We know we're supposed to be like Jesus. I'll leave this one last thing about one of the many ways that you can be transfigured is a scripture that we've not seen this line. I'll close with this. The classic verse, Matthew 18:20. For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We've all know this scripture. We've all used it for prayer. Come on, I need two or three people. Will you agree with me?
Right.
You know?
Go ahead.
Someone's exploding. So communion brings the two or three together, and the King of Glory releases the glory over you. Mm-hmm. So get out of the mindset that you need a person on your right and your left,
yes,
to be in agreement.
That's it.
Because
that's it.
The word says, if two or three, I'm there in the midst of you. Well, he already is in the midst of you.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
and so if you will walk in communion and union, that light that's in you will come out, right? And that's when the transfiguration will occur. You'll go bright, light, bright in Matthew 17:1, just like Jesus did on the Mount Transfiguration. Okay? And so, walking in communion, he releases the light from the inside out. Stop looking for a light to come down on you.
That's right.
You know, it's going to come out of you. Okay? And so, So don't look on the outside, look on the inside. He's on the inside. Stop looking for him out there. I hope he's at the meeting. If you're there, he's there. Okay. I want to go to a glory meeting. If you go in your bathroom, you can have a glory meeting, right? If you roll over the bed, it's a glory meeting, right? What are you looking for? Stop looking outside, right? You don't have to look anywhere. He's in there. Start looking on the inside. We need to start learning to live from the inside out. So, communion, mirror test. Go check the bathroom. If you can see yourself, you're not quite there. You keep believing. Father, I release you to shine through me. I'm going to go check. Okay. I believe you are. I just don't see it yet. I'm waiting for the day that I can't see myself in the mirror. Yay, because I know you're there. So show me if I'm blocking you with my words, am I too earthly? Show me, you know, is there any unbelief? Let that chariot come and separate me from belief. That'd be cool, right? Whatever. But I know you're here because I patted my belly and something patted back. No. Yeah. You're like, you know, so, but you're like, oh, you're like, he's in me. But he is in you, right?
Yes.
And so if we start living the truth, then we'll be the truth, okay? And the Bible says we are as he is on the earth. Okay. Hallelujah.